From NPR News in Washington, I'm Janine Herbst. Kurdish fighters in Iraq have had some success against self-declared Islamic State militants. NPR's Alice Fordham reports the extremists have been pushed out of the key town of Zumar.
The operation began at dawn, with the Iraqi Kurdish forces known as Peshmerga beginning the attack on the town, which is close to the Mosul Dam. Zumar has changed hands several times between the Islamic State and Peshmerga forces in recent months. By the afternoon, the Peshmerga said they controlled all the small villages in the area and two-thirds of the town. But at the same time, the Peshmerga reported that the Islamic State has begun an offensive in the town of Rabia, a crucial border crossing between Syria and Iraq. Alice Fordham, NPR News, Beirut.
The first healthcare worker in the U.S. to catch Ebola from a patient is now free of the virus and back home in Texas. Nurse Nina Pham was released yesterday from the National Institutes of Health outside Washington. She was exposed while treating Thomas Duncan, the Liberian man who died from Ebola at a Dallas hospital. A second nurse who treated Duncan, Amber Vinson, is also clear of the virus, but she does remain hospitalized. Meanwhile, that Dallas hospital where the two nurses were infected with Ebola says it's instituted new procedures for treating infectious diseases. From member station KERA in Dallas, Lauren Silverman reports on the changes.
Officials at Texas Health Presbyterian in Dallas say they've learned lessons after handling the first series of Ebola cases diagnosed in the U.S. Spokesperson Wendell Watson outlined some of the changes they've made so far.
We've upgraded medical record software to clearly highlight travel risks. We've introduced new triage procedures to quickly identify at-risk patients.
The hospital says it shared those and other initial lessons with more than 1,000 healthcare professionals from across the country in a webinar with the American Hospital Association. For NPR News, I'm Lauren Silverman in Dallas.
Three of the victims in yesterday's high school shooting outside Seattle remain in critical condition, being treated for head wounds at the hospital. Another is in serious condition. Two people died in the shooting, including the shooter, who police say took his own life. He was a student at Marysville Pilchuck High School. And a union official for those schools says a recently hired teacher confronted the gunman during the shooting. Randy Davis, president of the Marysville Education Association, says Megan Silberberger, a first-year social studies teacher, intervened.
I'm very grateful that it sounds like she went one direction and tried to end it, which amazes me.
Davis says classes will be canceled at the high school next week, but he says staff is still supposed to report. Police say the investigation at the school is now complete. They say they found a handgun at the site, which they think was used in the shooting. From Washington, this is NPR News. At least 20 people, mostly children, were killed when their ferry capsized in Zambia. The children were traveling to another school across Lake Karibia in the southern part of the country, heading to Zambia's 50th Independence Day celebrations. Authorities say the ferry was overloaded, causing that accident. Ukraine is preparing for a parliamentary election tomorrow, and reformers are hoping most of the current lawmakers will be replaced. From Kiev, NPR's Corey Flintoff reports the vote could determine whether Ukraine will survive as a nation.
The biggest share of the vote is expected to go to a bloc of candidates who support President Petro Poroshenko, but it's unlikely that they'll win an outright majority. That means that Poroshenko will have to form a coalition with one of the smaller parties. Analysts say that one problem with Ukraine's electoral system is that it has allowed for undue influence by the country's wealthy businessmen or oligarchs. Nearly three-quarters of the current members of parliament are running again. Reformers fear that if too many of the old faces get reelected, they may be able to resist efforts to fight corruption and make government dealings more transparent. Corey Flintoff, NPR News, Kiev.
In a white room with black curtains near the station.
The bassist from the 60s group Cream has died. Jack Bruce died at his home in England today. He wrote and sang White Room, along with Sunshine of Your Love, among others. Cream, which included guitarist Eric Clapton and drummer Jim Derbaker, sold 35 million albums in just over 2 years and were awarded the world's first ever platinum disc for their album Wheels of Fire. I'm Janine Herbst, NPR News in Washington.